Ladies and gentlemen, we take great pleasure in presenting in dramatic form another of the stories especially selected for us by Edwin Balmer, the distinguished editor of Red Book magazine. We are pleased to announce that the publishers of Red Book have given us special permission to broadcast these stories. Mr. Balmer is here in the studio with us, and before the story begins, we're going to ask him to tell you why he selected The No Man by Frederick Hazlitt Brennan. Mr. Balmer.
Frederick Hazlitt Brennan, who wrote The No Man, is one of the literary sensations of recent years. Only a short time ago, he was a newspaper reporter in St. Louis. There he began to put in short stories, some of the surprising things he saw and experienced. New things were happening. New people of all sorts were appearing in American cities, and he was the first to put many of them authentically upon a page. Naturally, the magazines began competing for his stories, and naturally, Hollywood howled for him to come out there and make pictures. He did so, and he saw Hollywood as only he could. The No Man is a story of Hollywood, written by the super brilliant reporter, Frederick Hazlitt Brennan, and we are delighted to give it to you.
Thank you, Mr. Balmer. Now for the story. Max Lowell is the president of Independent Pictures Incorporated. A supervisor, a director, and two writers have just filed out of his office, and he sinks back in his chair with a snort of disgust. The disturbing thought of Brian Byrne crosses his mind. Only a week ago, that troublemaking, insulting Irisher lowlife Byrne had stood in that very office and blurted out,
"You're the world's prize fall guy, Max. You let these Hollywood chiselers make a sap out of you 40 times a day. You enjoy it. You'd sell your soul for a yes and a slap on the back. You're just dumb."
And Max Lowell had risen in his wrath and shouted,
"Get out. Never do I want to see your Irish face again. I'm dumb, am I? You lowlife, you Irisher, get out."
And Max had meant every word he said. But now, for a moment, as he leans back in his swivel chair, he wishes the lowlife Irisher were back with him. Brian Byrne would tell you the truth, always the truth. Money meant nothing to Brian. But no, the fellow was insufferable. Max dismisses the thought of Brian and pushes the electric button to summon his secretary.
You rang for me, Mr. Lowell?
Why won't somebody tell me the truth, Miss Hurst? Am I too unreasonable to hear the truth?
Well, I thought that...
Shot the story of those two second-rate playwrights full of holes in 10 minutes. And they didn't stick to their guns. They backed down and they yessed me. Everybody yessed me.
Oh, yes, sir.
And when they go back east, they'll give out interviews saying they don't want to let us write anything good in Hollywood. They don't want that.
Most of them do that.
The only man we ever had around here who knew what he was doing and would tell the truth was Brian Byrne.
Would you like me to get hold of Mr. Byrne for you? I'm sure I could locate him.
No. 7 times I've had to take him back, and 7 times I had to fire him again. I can't stand that man.
You know it's 10 o'clock, Mr. Lowell.
Yes, I'm an hour late with all of my appointments. I know. You don't have to tell me.
Mr. Reisman's office called.
Reisman?
Yes. He said you promised to talk to him at 9:30 about buying that chain of theaters.
I should spend $12 million and change the company's policy without even thinking it over? Tell him I'll see him later.
Mr. Loomis called that he'll have Our Modern Wives with all the retakes ready to run at noon.
Loomis will have to wait. Maybe I can run Our Modern Wives after dinner.
And Mrs. Lowell called twice. She said it was very important.
Operator, get Mrs. Lowell for me.
Mr. Loomis said Our Modern Wives should have a $2 Broadway opening. He said it's too good for a regular release.
Well, what else should it be? We spent $700,000 on that picture. Hello? Hello, Mama. Oh, she's not there. Oh, she left for my office. Good. She's on her way here now.
Mr. Lowell's office. Mrs. Lowell's in the waiting room.
Send her right in, will you?
Ask her to come right into Mr. Lowell's office. She'll be right in.
Mama.
So, Papa, if you're so busy, you have no time for your own family.
Oh, listen, have I kept you waiting in the reception room, huh?
I sit by the telephone the whole morning, and all I hear is, Mr. Lowell's busy now, Mr. Lowell can't speak to you now.
No, Mama, you know I got conferences on every minute. What is it now? The swimming pool leaks again, huh?
Swimming pool? I wish it was only the swimming pool.
All right, so if it's not the swimming pool...
Max, I want you should listen and not get all excited.
What's the matter? Has Reba broke up the new car? Answer me at once.
Car? I wish it was the car. Reba's left home. That's what Reba's done.
What? Reba left home?
Now, Papa, don't get all excited.
Well, when did she leave? Why? Where? Answer me at once. Has she eloped?
She went to Lake Arrowhead with Terry Lothar and another boy and girl. with no chaperone. A fussy little no good, without a chaperone, mind you, for 3 or 4 days.
Well, you didn't let her go, did you?
Don't be foolish. Of course I didn't.
Aye, then, of course.
But she went.
What?
She packed her things and she went, and she said she wasn't ever coming back home again.
Well, we must bring her back. We must do something. What can we do?
If you hadn't got mad and fired that Brian Boyne, he would have got Reba back for us.
Brian Boyne?
He had a way with Reba. He was the only one that could ever do anything with her.
Miss Hoist?
Yes, Mr. Lowell?
I want you should find Brian Boyne. Try Caliente first. Maybe he went to Palm Springs or to Big Bear. Or maybe Frisco or Las Vegas.
I heard he was in Seattle on Thursday.
Well, fly Seattle. Try everywhere. Click.
I'll find him, sir.
No, no, Mama, don't cry. Brian will get River back for us, all right? Don't worry. That Irish low life can do it, all right.
If we find him, Papa. Oh, we've got to get him.
We found Mr. Byrne, Mr. Lowell.
At last. Where?
He's in jail at Santa Barbara.
Good, good. What is he in for?
He had a fight with a highway cop who was trying to arrest some girl for speeding.
Let me see. Who do I know in Santa Barbara that can get him out?
Oh, Mr. John Mayer, the banker, could do it.
Good. Wire him about it. And put in a call to the Santa Barbara jail for me right away.
I have the jail for you already. The switchboard's holding the call for you.
Hello? Hello? Give me that call to the jail. Yes. Hello? Say, listen. This is Mr. Max Lowell, president of Independent Pictures. I want you to let me speak to Brian Boyne. Brian Boyne, you've got him in there. Say, is this the chief? What? Brian won't speak to me. Listen, listen. I want you to tell Mr. Boyne that it ain't business I want to talk to him about. Tell him it's my little girl, Reba. My little Reba, you understand? Good. Hello? Hello, Brian. Is that you? Now, listen, Brian. I don't want you to act this way. What I said and what you said ain't neither here nor there. Reba has run away. Yes. Her mama is all upset and crying for her. And listen, I don't feel any too good either. Brian, listen. You got to find her and you got to bring her home. Listen, would you want my little Reba to marry an actor? You told me yourself we should not let her be taken in by some no-good Hollywood lowlife. Yes. She told her mama she went to Lake Arrowhead, yes. I'll get you out, Brian. Already I've wired you $5,000. Yeah, I want you to leave for Arrowhead at once. Hire a plane or anything, but bring little Reba back to her mama, yes. Now listen, Brian, he hung up.
He's going to do it for you?
Yes, Brian will try.
Mr. Loomis is still holding an operator to run our modern wives. It's 6 o'clock, and Mr. Reisman wants to know if you'll dine with him at the Roosevelt.
Tell them both I'm too busy. Hey, the truth is I'm too worried. I'm going home now to wait for Reba.
Midnight, Papa. You'd better call the police here.
No, no, don't worry, Mama. Brian will bring Reba home, all right? That's all right. Don't worry.
Maybe it's Reba.
Oh, a car. Mama, it's a car.
Hey, Max. Max.
Mama. Papa.
Reba.
Oh, I'm so glad to be home, Mama. Oh, it's all right now, Reba. It's all right.
No, no, don't you worry, Reba. What was it that happened?
I trusted Carrie, Papa. He's a big bum and a coward.
Well, what has he done?
He wanted me to leave with the others at Lake Arrowhead and elope with him to Las Vegas.
And now you arrived just in time to spank him and get Reba away.
Hey, Brian, I can never thank you enough for this.
Forget it.
No, no, listen. Take your mama upstairs, Reba, and tell her you'll never run away from her again. Go on, Mama. Go,
go.
Go
ahead, Mama.
Hey, wait a minute. Where are you going, Brian?
I've got a long drive ahead of me, Max, and I want to be started.
Now, listen, don't go, Brian. Listen, you got to come back. I need you.
Nothing doing, Max. You don't get me back on any crummy job for you.
But listen,
I told you I was through, and I meant it.
But, Brian, I got to show you our modern vibes. It's the best talkie we or anybody else ever made. George Brock, he said so.
So George Brock said so.
Yes, and we got a big deal to buy big theaters, 200 theaters. Bernie says never in his life did he ever see such a bargain.
So that's what Bernie said.
Listen, I know for once in your life you'll agree with George and Bernie.
Agree with those chiselers? I'll bet the picture's a flop, and that theater deal smells of Bernie.
Oh, no, no, no. It's a fine picture and a fine deal, too.
Well, I got to be going. I brought Reba home, and that's enough.
And you know Sonia Sylvia? She's a rave in the picture brand. We got to sign a quick for a year or two.
I swore I'd never mess around with you again. I'm going.
Oh, please, Brian. Just these two things you got to do for me. The deal and the picture. I need you to help me.
Can't you find one other man in this confounded town who'll tell you the truth occasionally?
Oh, they ain't like you, Brian. They all got access to grind. They want money or big jobs or something.
Listen, then, and I'll tell you something. I saw some rushes of that picture before I quit.
You did?
Yes, and it's just a good program, hot tamale.
Well, what do you mean? It's the best thing we've ever done. It should have a Broadway opening.
Cut it to 6,000 feet and throw out all that symbolic stuff.
Cut it to 6,000?
Write in some more scenes for that little Withrow girl. She'll steal the picture from Sylvia anyway. Withrow will be a second gainer if she's handled right.
A second gainer? Well, maybe you're right, Brian.
And as for that theater deal, have you checked up on the appraisal yourself?
Oh, Bernie always handles the business office.
Bernie's a double-crossing chiseler.
Oh, that's not so. Bernie's my friend. Bernie wouldn't do that.
See, there you go. Oh, what's the use of telling you the truth? You don't want to hear it.
You're right, Brian. I got to have the truth, but it hurts.
Well, what if it does?
Well, it makes me so mad, I wish I could never hear it again. But always, always I have to come back for more.
You let those chiselers make a fool out of you.
Well, listen, a man has got to trust somebody. You're the only one left, Brian. You've got to come back to work for me. You've just got to.
Nothing doing. I'm like all the rest. Pretty soon I'd be yesing you, too.
Oh, you'd never do that. Listen, I'll pay you anything you ask. And may I fall down dead if I fire even once more.
Nothing doing, Maxie. We're quits, and I'm heading back to Santa Barbara.
Santa Barbara? What's in Santa Barbara for you?
A girl, Maxie. And I'm going to get back there as fast as I can drive.
A girl? You, Brian, and a girl?
That's what I said.
Well, listen, Brian. If you love a girl, you'll need money. You must make something of yourself.
Yeah, that's a good line.
Listen, you're the best all-around picture man I ever knew. Writing, directing, supervising, they're all easy for you.
I said I was going back to Santa Barbara, Max.
Wait, Brian, wait. Think it over, wait.
Nothing doing, Max. So long.
You want a job when you get married. You'll see if you don't.
Mr. Bryan to see you, Mr. Lowell.
Brian Boyne? Show him in.
This way, Mr. Byrne.
Thank you.
Brian, am I surprised?
Well, you win, Maxie. I've come to take that job.
Great. Fine. That makes me so happy, I would be ashamed to tell you.
I was married 2 days ago. When do I start to work and where?
Sit down. Sit down, my boy. You'll start writing, directing a new picture that I've got an idea for.
What's the story?
Listen. Listen while I tell it to you. It's all wow. A girl who used to run with crooks marries the district attorney and doesn't tell him about her past. Her old gangster boyfriend is framed for murder and the district attorney tries it. She knows that he is innocent. Shall she tell what she knows to save him and probably lose her husband, or shall she let him die? How's that for a situation?
Not bad, Max. Not bad at all.
You really mean that, Brian?
Why, yes, of course.
What's that? What's that you said?
I said yes.
Said yes. You're yesing me.
Oh, I know, Max, but...
Listen, Brian, I got a job for you, but it ain't here. It's down on that ranch of mine below Caliente. I want you should go down and run it for me. I want you should leave at once. The yacht is at Wilmington. Take it. Get out of here tonight. Get out before I change my mind and I'll let you stay here to yes me.
Yes, sir.
I'll assure you.
This story, The No Man, by Frederick Hazlitt Brennan, was broadcast by special permission of the publishers of Red Book Magazine. Next week at this same time, we take pleasure in announcing that we will present another Red Book story in dramatic form. This story was adapted for the radio by Lawrence Holcomb.